Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
Here's the truth that most business owners miss. Blame might feel good for a moment, it's good for your ego, but blame guarantees that you stay stuck.
Business owners often make a critical mistake when problems arise, and that mistake is that they don't take full responsibility. Instead, they deflect or blame, which only makes the issues worse and traps the business in a cycle of poor performance and ongoing frustration. If you're pointing fingers, actually you're not really addressing the real problem.
Yeah, it's not about I suck, I screwed up. It's about this is on me.
What am I going to do differently?
Here's what I could have done differently.
Now tune into this episode where we discuss how easy it is to blame others and how taking full ownership of your business results is the key to your business success. Alrighty, welcome to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones here, your host, with my other host, Phil Smith. My man, how's it going?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. Ready to roll.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to today's episode. It's actually pretty juicy.
Yeah.
So what are we getting into, mate?
Yeah, we're talking about a pretty sticky subject, actually. And let's face it, I think running a business is pretty hard work. Like, jobs can go sideways, team members don't do what they say they would, clients push back on pricing, mistakes happen. And honestly, some days it just feels like everything is on fire. And when that happens, it's easy and honestly even logical to just blame someone else or something else, you know, the team, the supplier, economy. But here's the truth that most business owners miss is blame might feel good for a moment, you know, it's good for your ego, but blame guarantees that you stay stuck, right?
It does, because, you know, if you're pointing fingers, actually you're not really addressing the real problem. Just, you know, yelling at people or losing your marbles at people doesn't really change the situation. Often it makes it worse, and over time, it actually creates a culture of stress, disappointment, frustration, drama, resentment. It's a downward spiral. And so in this episode, we really want to dig into that mental shift that separates, you know, the owners who really grow and crush it from those who stay stuck in that cycle of blame and disappointment and frustration. And those guys who stay in that cycle, they're really the ones who have to keep grinding on and on and on, and things never really change. And they get really frustrated with their life and their business. So this is important. It's quite challenging.
Yep.
Because not blaming means you've really got to take responsibility, which is often hard when you're sometimes not to blame. But yeah, that doesn't mean you're not responsible, and that's the big shift. You know, blame and responsibility are two different things. And it's very hard when you've kind of done your best effort and things still go wrong. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's probably not the best effort you could do, because there'll be something that you can change. And that's what we really need to dig into today, to understand how you can take ownership and just not point fingers.
Yeah, totally, man. It's definitely a hard one. And you were telling me a story about the Tylenol crisis the other day. I reckon this could be a great fit here.
This is a good story. Like, it's a sad story. Like, in 1982, in the Chicago area, I think 7 or 8 people died after taking Tylenol capsules. And those capsules had actually been laced with cyanide, which turns out is not good for people.
No, probably don't go out and sample cyanide.
It's not good. Not good. It's a terrible situation. And Tylenol is made by Johnson & Johnson, and you know they were the biggest sellers of pain relief. Like, you know, Tylenol is the pain relief that everyone uses in the US. And the thing here is that the contamination wasn't actually Johnson & Johnson's fault. They hadn't actually done anything wrong. The tampering actually happened after the product left their warehouses. You know, someone actually poisoned other pills on the store shelves.
It was also very contained. It was like one or two places, right? And someone had got out and tampered with them in the store.
Yeah, and it's very difficult for them to actually do anything about it. What they did was actually take total ownership of the situation. Instead of, you know, just blaming that person or sort of, you know, taking the legal route and hiding behind a bunch of technicalities, they took absolute responsibility, and they actually pulled something like 30 million bottles of Tylenol from the shelves of stores nationwide. They halted production. It cost them hundreds of millions of dollars. It was like insane cost. And what they did, and this is the really interesting thing, they actually introduced tamper-proof so that this could never happen again. Now, that's not something they would have thought of initially. Like, who would have thought of that? Who goes and laces stuff with cyanide? I mean, that's ridiculous. But they actually took total ownership and responsibility of the situation. They were completely transparent, and they retained their integrity. The handling of the crisis became a case study in corporate responsibility. And within a year, Tylenol had regained its market share, and obviously it's an incredibly successful brand. Like, it's massive. So interesting story. They really did nothing wrong, but they took responsibility for fixing a problem. And that mindset, that approach, is actually how the winners work.
Yeah, totally. I mean, we see it all the time with our members, right? Like, there's a real big difference between people that are, you know, it doesn't actually matter who's responsible for what happened. You are responsible for what happens next. Mm. And I think that's a real key difference that that all of the winners really, you know, believe and live by. And we see it, you know, everyone that's hitting the best results in our program, they've all adopted that mindset. So very, very important. Obviously, if we can't adopt that mindset, some big problems arise.
Yeah, I mean, the first one is you get stuck with the same issues because blame really just recycles the problem. It doesn't do anything to fix it. It's just a finger-pointing exercise. It's like, hey, you get better. And maybe they might pay a bit more attention next time, but generally it's like, doesn't really fix the problem. And you waste a lot of time and energy over fault, you know, pointing fingers. It kind of feels good.
Well, it feels good in the moment.
Because it's like it maintains your ego. It's like, I was right, you were wrong. And unfortunately, as human beings, we kind of like that because it, you know, maintains our sense of identity, but it doesn't help the problem. And what it does is creates a blame culture. So it's like people, they, you know, if you blame them, then what they take on board is the fact if something goes wrong, I'm going to get blamed.
Well, that also, you know, if something goes wrong, then if I'm going to get blamed, so I better quickly blame someone else. And so it actually becomes contagious.
That's right. And then people start hiding stuff because they don't want to be blamed. And it's a very vicious cycle. In the end, it damages the trust with the clients and the staff. You give away your power. And you're stuck in firefighting mode as well. Like you're always, you know, just pointing fingers. And that's the way you deal with issues. So it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Feels good in the short term, but it's not good in the long term.
Well, feeling good in the short term, my dad, old Sparky Dad, he had a saying around this, which has always stuck with me, where he said, look, blame is a little bit like pissing in your pocket to keep warm. He's like, you know, it feels really good for a little bit until it cools down. And at that point, you're still cold, but now you're also covered in piss. Yeah, I feel it's a bit the same. You know, it feels good in the moment, but it wears off very quickly, and then you're actually in a worse place than you were before. So on the other hand, if we can adopt the right mindset around this, you know, and stop blaming, start taking ownership, some huge opportunities on the horizon.
Well, it's absolutely fundamental to a high-performance culture, ownership. And you think of all the great sports teams, they take ownership. It's all about ownership. You know, if something's going to happen, I'm going to be the one to step up, and it's the same thing. You move from firefighting to being forward planning. It's going to help you with your credibility with your clients if you take total ownership and never duck or weave on responsibility. You become a true leader. Now, true leaders are all about taking responsibility and ownership because that's the way forward. So I think that's important. You get better results faster, and you will unlock business growth because you'll build that culture of accountability, of performance, and you need that to grow a business. Otherwise, you're going to have to, you know, control everything all of the time, and that's not fun. That's not how you grow a sustainable business.
Well, also, you can't control everything all the time. It's really that simple. And end of the day, like you said, business growth is about getting things done. And the hard part is that when you're blaming, you're not actually getting anything done. And so nothing happens, and you don't grow, you don't develop, right? Whereas, like, only way to get stuff done is to move out of that blame mode and into action mode. So let's dig into this, man. Like, where should we start?
Well, I think the time horizon is the key thing. Between fault and responsibility. And those are the two sort of angles we can take, you know, fault and blaming, or responsibility and ownership. And the thing about fault is that it's rooted in the past. It's rooted in what's already happened, and it's about assigning blame for what went wrong. You know, the apprentice didn't follow instructions, or the supplier didn't deliver on time, or maybe the client didn't tell us they changed their mind, whatever. And so it's all about who stuffed up. It's about judgment, and not about progress. And it creates a lot of negative emotion because people can feel wrongly accused. Often they do, because in their mind, there's generally a good reason for why they did what they did. Maybe they were overwhelmed, or they didn't understand, or they thought this is what they'd been told to do, or insert excuse here.
Yep.
Very few people do something deliberately stupid or wrong. I mean, people just don't do that. Most people turn up in the morning trying to do a good job.
Yeah,
And if you blame them, well, that doesn't, you know, doesn't sit well.
Well, it's the same in everything in life, right? Like, no one's walking around going, man, I can't wait to screw everything up, piss everybody off, and have no friends and have my family hate me. Like, no one's thinking that, you know? Everything in life, people are setting out trying to get a good result. Like, even if they're a selfish person, they're trying to get a good result for themselves. But one way or another, they're not trying to screw things up. And I think that time horizon is absolutely crucial, like you said, because if it's in the past, you can't change it. So if you're dwelling on that, the hard part is that you could be arguing about this for hours, like who's at fault, you're talking about it, you're spending all this time, all this energy, but you can't change it, it still happened. And on the other hand, the person who you're blaming or the situation that you're blaming also can't go back and change it. They probably didn't want this result either. And so you're dwelling there. You're also dragging other people into the past, and none of you can do anything about that, and you still have the same result. You know, job is still overtime, invoice is still unpaid, team members still drop the ball, and you stay stuck because all of that energy, yours and theirs, is tied up trying to fix something that's already happened that's absolutely impossible, right?
You can't. And the real insidious thing here is when you blame and find fault, what you're actually doing is absolving yourself of responsibility as a leader, because you're saying, well, there's not much I can do about it because it's your fault.
Mm.
And that's a problem because things won't change. Yep. And like you said, you can't change the past. So you've got to switch it around and focus on the responsibility and the ownership, because that is about the future.
Mm.
Responsibility says, okay, we've got a problem. Maybe someone didn't do something sensible, but no matter, what are we actually going to do to fix this? What can I do now? What systems do I need to change? How can I lead better? How can I make it clearer in the future? And it doesn't waste responsibility about arguing whose fault it is. It actually uses that same energy to do something productive. Because blaming takes energy. You know, you use energy to do that. You get angry, you use energy to do that. You might as well use that energy to actually do something that's going to move the ball down the field. That's the key thing. So it channels the energy to a better outcome for next time. So it's future looking, and that's the key to success. You don't want to be stuck in the past because that's not going to change. But if you take ownership and accountability, you're actually going to move things forward for the future.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, something that you might sort of say in your head might be, look, it wasn't my fault that the team member made a mistake, but it is my responsibility to make sure that they're trained properly, you know, that our systems are actually going to catch errors, and that I might actually set better expectations moving forward. Like, those are things that you can control. So while it might not have been your fault, it is your responsibility to do things differently next time.
It is. And I think sometimes an example is really helpful. Like, Tylenol is a great example, because really the Johnson & Johnson weren't at fault, really. And another example, let's say you've got a journeyman or a tech who forgets to connect the dishwasher pipe, you know, the waste, and someone runs the dishwasher in the house, floods the client's house. It's a stupid mistake. It's dumb. Like, it is. It's, like, basic, right? Yeah. Who doesn't check that? Okay. And you could point the finger and say, you're a Muppet, blah, blah, blah. And I can understand how you'd feel like that. But that's not really going to change anything. The responsibility that you need to take is look at all the angles here. It's like, did I hire the right person? Did I just take anyone? Or did I have a thorough process and actually vet this person? Did they actually have some training around how to do this? It looks obvious, but were they trained to check? Did we schedule the right people? You know, did we put someone who was actually completely unqualified?
They'd never installed a dishwasher before.
Yeah, this sort of stuff happens. Perhaps most importantly, do we have a QA checklist system which has all the line items down there? One of them is to check the waste and to run the dishwasher before you actually...
Before you leave the house.
Before you leave, you know. Are there good handover notes? All this sort of stuff is the stuff you need to check. That would be how you would take responsibility for that situation. If you've done all of that and you're comfortable that you're clear, then, you know, if the person does it again, that's a performance issue and you need to deal with them. Maybe they've done this before or something similar and you didn't really deal with it. That's your responsibility. That's how you could change your input to the situation to get a better result.
Yeah. So, again, I think it's about that future focus, right? Because if we look at it, like, you look at Tylenol, it would have been easy for them to say, hey, that wasn't our fault. You could also argue it was their fault they didn't already have a tamper-proof package they'd come up with 20 years ago, you know? But, I mean, they'd say, well, we didn't have tamper-proof packages.
We didn't think of it.
Wasn't a thing, right? And it's like, yeah, that's true. And so, like, the point is this entire discussion is ridiculous because you're fighting with yourself over whether or not you should have come up with something you hadn't come up with years ago. Whereas if you're thinking future-focused, it's, hey, look, that happened, and now we're able to come up with this tamper-proof packaging, and so that's a really proactive and forward-thinking response. If you think about the example you just made with the dishwasher, right, it's like you could say, well, it would have been great if we'd had a QA system and a checklist, but we didn't have all of that, so they should have just known. It's like, no, this is a stupid conversation. There's no point in arguing with yourself or anybody about whether or not you should have had that or whether or not the person should have known. Like, you know, you should all over yourself. You know, I mean, the thing is in this case, like, what you can take responsibility for is what you do moving forward. So to avoid that happening again next time, that's where, again, like you said, training, putting the right people on the job, creating that QA system that you didn't have, using the handover notes you never used to do, like that kind of stuff is forward thinking. It's cool, this happened, all right, whatever, is what it is. What can we do differently next time? And that's the key shift, right?
Yeah. I actually was just thinking about relationships here too. And you think about marriage, people say, hey, marriage needs to be 50-50. Well, 50-50, that's sounds good, but actually it's terrible.
Well, yeah, you're relinquishing responsibility that's right. for an outcome.
You're saying, hey, it has to be even. Well, the point here is it's not even.
No.
In a marriage, it's much better to be 100%, 100%. Like, yeah. I'll put 100% effort in without counting the cost, and if my partner does the same, we're going to go well. Mm. Same in this situation. It's like, I'm going to take ownership for absolutely everything, even if there's only 5%, or even if there's only 3% of things that I could have done differently, I need to own that, because that means I've done everything I can. And that's what the winners actually do. They leave no stone unturned to make sure that the result is good.
Yeah, and hey, look, sometimes, you know, you think you've left no stone unturned, and you find out down the track, usually the hard way, that there was stones that were unturned. Like, damn, you can't catch them all, right? Like, but the thing is that you also then view those stones when they pop up, you know, instead of going, ah, man, I should have noticed that, or I should have turned that stone. You know, like, instead what you're thinking is, huh, all right, cool, there was a stone that was unturned, so I'm going to turn it next time, you know, and now I know, and now I can do better, and now I can put something in place to make sure I don't miss it. So I think the key is, again, it's just that shift on the whole way you're looking at these problems.
Yeah, and the the driving forces here is that the clients actually don't care whose fault it is.
No.
There's no point going to your client and saying, hey, Jim, he mucked this up and didn't check the waste. Like, is a client going to care about that? Who are they going to hold responsible?
Yeah.
Well, I'll hold you. They're like, well, what were you doing? What were you thinking? Did you not train you guys? Like,
well, why'd you send Jim here in the first place?
Yeah, so the client doesn't care. They don't care if the apprentice doesn't show up. They don't care if the supplier dropped the ball or the weather was rubbish or whatever. They just see the deadline missed or the mistake or the half-finished job. And blaming someone doesn't actually help them. And that's what we need to do. It doesn't get you any points at all. In fact, when you do that, it actually has a reverse effect. It actually thinks that you're not, you know, the client thinks you're not in control. Mm. And so it's much better from a client-facing perspective to say, hey, I messed up, we messed up, we're going to fix this up. Yep. That'll actually get you brownie points, because most reasonable people understand that sometimes it doesn't go according to plan, but they just love you to take ownership. And I can think of examples, you know, where you've called customer service and they fob you off. Come on, like, just take ownership, responsibility, how frustrating that is as a customer.
Hmm.
And you've got to think about that. Clients just don't care.
I also think the big thing, though, like you said, is that clients really do respect when people do take ownership, because at the end of the day, like you said, they don't care if Jim screwed this up. They don't care if you had a tradesman who was a bit average, whatever. Like, the thing is they just care that this got screwed up. And the thing is if you try to blame that guy, like you said, it's like, well, why'd you send me the B team? You know, like, I thought this job was important to you. Clearly it's not. And when you blame, it makes you look like, again, you also don't care. Also, the first knee-jerk reaction of the client is to think, hang on, are you trying to get out of this? You know, are you not going to fix this?
Exactly.
So leading with that is putting that client into a mindset of you're trying to weasel out of it. And so as a result, doesn't matter what you say after that, their thinking is already colored with you're going to try to weasel out of this and not accept blame, but it's your company. So on the other hand, when you take responsibility immediately, that client's actually often going to be, you know, just relaxed, because they're like, okay, cool, all right, there's a problem, but you're sorting it, right? Okay, cool. Well, then it's going to be sorted. Great. Do I have to pay for the fix? No? Well, okay, great. Like, fine. Sweet. That you know, mistakes happen. And often they'll actually be quite understanding. Now, sometimes they will still be angry. And I think the thing is that we can sometimes assume that if I just take responsibility, client won't be angry, and then they get angry and we think, oh, that didn't work. That's not true. They might still be angry about the fact that there was a mistake. They might still be annoyed. But the difference is they're not annoyed at you, and they are still confident in you that you can deliver, and they're happy that you're going to take ownership and get this sorted if there's a mistake or something missed. But the thing is it doesn't necessarily always mean they won't be annoyed. It's just they're not annoyed at you. And in fact, they have full confidence because you've put that in their head straight away. So even if you just let it sneak out, you've still got a problem, because if you lead with blame, then you've put the other person on the back foot immediately. And I think that's the key, right? Is this can be sneaky.
It can be very sneaky. This blame game is a sneaky little toad. And you've really got to examine the language that you use here, because it's easy to think you're taking responsibility when you're still actually in blame and fault mode. Mm. Now, for example, I don't know, let's say you have a marketing agency, which can often be frustrating, let me be honest. You know, they're the experts. We pay them enough. They should have done a better job.
Mm.
Okay, well, sounds fair enough. But you think about it. Did you give them crystal clear instructions? Did you hold them accountable? Now, have you let them go on for 4 or 5 months underperforming instead of holding them account after 1 month or having some key performance metrics in place? Did you check any references prior to hiring them? You know, did you like just they look good and we thought we'd go with them? There's always something you can do there, so you've got to be careful. It might be, hey, I've explained it to him 5 times and he still doesn't get it. Like, I've told him 5 times. Like, is he stupid or what? Again, okay, might have been a bad hire. It's just not a person who's up to the task. It might be you don't have any systems. It might be actually your instructions weren't particularly clear.
Yeah.
You talked in real general terms. You didn't have anything written down. You know, there's no feedback given to them the other times, really, whatever. So that's important.
Well, I think often what we see, and you know, you might actually catch yourself doing this now, but I know I've caught myself doing it before, is when you think you're taking responsibility, that's actually what you've set out to do, but you end up not. You just blame people. And the hard part is that people see through this so fast. But it would look something like this. This is completely my fault. I take full responsibility for this because you know what? I hired Tony and he sucks. Like, he screwed this whole thing up. You know, Tony was terrible from start to finish. Tony made this mistake, that mistake, that. And do you see how it's like I opened with a couple of lines of responsibility and then fully brushed that and just started, you know, bagging
dumping
on you.
Yeah.
And I think we do that all the time. You know, like, hey, I've got to take full responsibility for our marketing results because I hired that crap agency and they're useless and they didn't do this and they didn't. And it's been months now and it's like, you actually aren't taking responsibility. It's the same as when somebody says the word but in a sentence. Yeah. You know, it's like everything you said before the word but is not what you actually meant. You know, it's everything that comes after the word but was what you were trying to say. So I think the key is like you've got to take proper responsibility. Like, hey, this is completely my fault because, you know, I sent Tony there and the problem was Tony didn't really know how to do that job, which is on me because I knew that and I still sent him there anyway. I also didn't give Tony all of the proper tools and training. So the thing is I've really set him up to fail. And that's absolutely not fair to Tony and not fair to you, Mr. Customer. So I'm going to put this right. Firstly, we're going to get this job fixed. Secondly, is I'm going to, you know, this has been a big wake-up call for me to put better time into my team in terms of training, in terms of making sure they go to the right jobs, in terms of setting them up with better systems. Like, this is me actually taking ownership, you see? And there's quite a big difference there.
You know, it's huge. I mean, nothing happens in your business that you don't influence in some way. This is the key thing. You are the author of your business. Your business reflects, you know, you and your efforts. And so if there are areas of problem, it comes back to you eventually. And that's tough to take, but it's also the good news because you can actually do something about it. And it could be systems. It could be your communications. It could be your hiring process. Often it's the hiring process. That's actually the problem.
Yeah.
It could be the culture that you've allowed, the standards that you didn't set. You know, your fingerprints are actually everywhere. And so you got to look at all the ways that you could have shaped the issue and you could have improved the issue before blaming anyone else. That's super important. And it doesn't mean that you should blame yourself. I think it's very important not to get into the, you know, it's fine to blame someone else. It's sometimes worse to blame yourself sometimes. Take responsibility. Don't beat yourself up.
Yeah, because it's not about I suck, I screwed up. It's about, this is on me.
What am I going to do differently?
Here's what I could have done differently last time. Yeah. And you might frame that as, here's what I did wrong because I didn't do this. That's okay, but don't dwell on that sentence. It's, this is what I'm going to do now that I know that I've missed this, that I haven't done that right. Now I'm going to be able to do things differently. That's the key.
Yeah, and the big unlock here, I guess, if you look for a general principle here, is rather than blaming people, you look at the system within which your people are operating, because almost always you've got a system problem. Your system isn't clear. You know, the results you want aren't clear. It's not written down. It hasn't been trained. You haven't hired the right people because your hiring system is not right. You don't have a good system for giving your team feedback and holding them accountable. So you look at the systems, because the systems are what runs the business. Your team run the systems and you lead the team.
Yeah.
And so look for system solutions first. When you've got the systems right, if the people aren't working, and you give them a fair crack, that's when you have to move people on or put them in another role. And again, if you don't do that, then that's your responsibility. If you let them fester in a role, and as you've said many times, nothing, you know, destroys a good employee watching you tolerate a fart, you know, something
nothing,
like that.
Yeah, kills a good employee faster than watching you tolerate a bad.
You should just say it.
You got it, bro. Yeah.
But you know what I mean, right? Yeah. So that's absolutely critical.
Yeah, man, 100%. And I think like what you said about systems is massive for me, because I think the thing is that people fail, you know?
They do.
People make mistakes, including you, me, everybody. Great example. I'm taking a bunch of the guys from the office out surfing after work. It's going to be a good time. Now, when I used to go surf, there's a lot of stuff you got to remember, right? Like, seems simple. You got your board, right? But the reality is you need your wetsuit. You need fins on your board. You need a leash for your board, otherwise that's going to go flying away. You need a towel for afterwards, otherwise you know, you're going to stay wet. You know, you need all these things. And I think the key is that I often used to forget something, and it could ruin your time. And, you know, I took responsibility for that, and I thought, well, you know what, I'm going to remember now. I've got my little mental checklist. But you know what, I still forgot stuff because I'm not perfect, man. People make mistakes. And so nowadays I've got a little checklist on my phone, and every time I go out surfing, I check that checklist. I make sure I got everything in the car ready to go, even stuff I might not need, just so that I know I'm completely prepared and there's no way that this is going to get ruined because of my memory. And so I think the key is that I could ask myself to be better. I could remember more. I could think about it more. I could put this on myself as a person. But as a person, you're not perfect. You are going to make mistakes. And so that's still not going to work. Whereas if you look to a system, that's where it's like, well, it's very hard to get this wrong now. And so I think the key is look to a system, because blame is still often with a person. And if the way that we're trying to fix the issues that have come up, instead of blaming, we go to fixing the issues. But if the way you're going to fix the issues is to make people better, I'm like, man, I feel like you're missing a trick. The system is the key, because that's where still try to make people better, but if they've also got a system, they're just so much better prepared. They have the tools, and you're not setting them up for failure.
Yeah, and that's the key thing here. You can blame a person, but when you take ownership and responsibility for the result, you tend to build a system so that the person doesn't have to remember everything and it's very crystal clear what they need to do.
Yeah.
So that's the big shift.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, cool. Well, I think we've said some good stuff. Should we land this plane?
All righty. At the end of the day, you got two choices. Blame someone else or take ownership and responsibility and lead. Now, it doesn't matter who really stuffed up. What matters is who's going to fix it. So that's the shift. That's the hard work. And that's what separates the battlers from the business owners who really go on and crush it.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks heaps for listening. Catch you all again next time.
See you later.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie podcast.